right, let's kick off hour two with some headlines. Go ahead, Cam. I've been waiting 10 days to hear some Cam Black headlines.
We're back at it. We're back at it again.
Give them to me.
Well, one thing we kind of missed over the break, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
He has joined the Live Golf Circuit Tour. Just another big name kind of jumping ship from the PGA. And even after, you know, obviously the PGA started putting restrictions and other events have been banning these guys, Brooks Koepka still took the money and ran and headed to join the other league.
You got what? Carlos Ortiz and Matthew Wolf making headlines yesterday for joining. Mm-hmm. I don't really know who Carlos Ortiz is. I know Matthew Wolf is a guy that fits the prototype that I was looking for that has some name value but doesn't have a lot of game value at this point.
It's a weird one to see go just because of how hot he was at one point. I mean, he's still just like 23.
Yeah.
He had several major like top tens.
He finished in the top five, I want to say, a couple of times.
At one point, I think he was all the way up at like 12th in the world, and then he
– he fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, he's watched his career fall apart.
People say he's dealing with some like mental stuff and anxiety and depression. I don't know. But I will say, like, what I've seen from Matthew Wolf over the last year is that that's a guy that needs to play golf that doesn't have a cut because he almost gets cut every Friday afternoon.
Did you see what happened with Jason Kokrak?
No, I don't think I did.
He made it to the final hole of his round. He ended up in a greenside bunker. Then, in his shot out of the greenside bunker, hit it over the green, across the roads, and as like the little shot tracker thing on the app put it, 87 yards into the unknown. And then he proceeded to walk off the golf course, get into his car, and drive off without finishing the hole or turning in a scorecard, getting disqualified from the tournament, and is expected now to just head to the LIV or the LIV.
Enough of this, he said.
That's one of my favorite things that's ever happened. I can become in favor of the LIV tour if that's how players are going to leave for it.
Just say, yeah, I'll take this job and shove it. So I guess LIV is back this week, and they're playing in the U.S., correct? They're in Portland, I believe. I didn't really realize how
Maine or Oregon.
Say what?
Maine or Oregon.
I'll assume Portland, Oregon.
Okay,
I'm assuming.
Just checking.
Yeah. To me, I feel like if they're in Maine.
I hope half are in Maine and half are in Portland, and it's a disaster.
I feel like if you're in Maine, you have to specify
yeah.
Portland, Maine, not.
When I say the Portland, Maine's low-key the better Portland.
I don't know if it would be low-key.
I think it's more normal, probably.
I was going to say, I feel like Portland, Oregon's probably like got a very bad perception nationally. I don't know if it would be low-key at this point.
That place is an interesting place.
All right, so give me with the next headline, Cam.
All right. The Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup over the weekend, defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning to keep them from three-peating. Basically finished them off last night with a 2-1 win and, taking that series in six games. Big for them, big for their owner. That was their owner's third ring in the past, like calendar year. He also owns the Rams
and
he owns the Colorado team in the lacrosse professional league.
I don't know if that one counts.
PLL? Yeah. It's another ring for him.
I don't know
if
that one counts.
I count it.
I doubt they even give rings for that. Probably just give like a trophy.
It's a golden lacrosse ball. But yeah, big for him. But big for them as well. Colorado getting that championship as another sport ends that season.
I was surprised at how low scoring that game was. You know, Tampa Bay steals game five when it looks like, you know, Colorado is going to get to celebrate on their home ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Tampa goes back home, gets up 1-0 in the first period. And then, Colorado scores 2 in the second. And then we have a scoreless third period and they win 2-1. I was pretty surprised at how that broke down.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was almost thought Tampa was going to sneak away with, send it to game seven after that game five steal. But
I thought they were going to game seven. But yeah. For as explosive as of a team as Colorado is, it was their defense that ultimately won it.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely just parked the bus and locked the doors on the Lightning there at the end. which I also had a big Lightning future to win the Stanley Cup. So yesterday was just brutal.
Bad day for Chuckles.
Back to back.
Yeah, bad day for you.
You hate to see it. Also a bad day for Brittany Griner. She has her court date is this Friday, but she also has her detention extended for 6 more months. So we won't be seeing her anytime soon, it seems like.
Yeah, this story was something that people laughed about when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of how absurd it was.
Yeah.
But I think now we're just kind of like, oh, man, this is really sad, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
As we're here 6 months later or 5 months later.
She was arrested February 17th.
Okay, so yeah, 5 months later, and then you look at another 6 months for this to go on. And it is one of the worst instances of being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know, obviously she shouldn't have been breaking the law and having her, she had hash with her, like in her vape
pen.
So
weed pen, yeah.
Which, you know, I don't think is worth being, put in prison for 11 months either. So it's just, she's in Russia and, the Russians want to make an example and don't really want to work with the U.S. and the U.S. can't really, go of its way to try to make this work for her, and she's just kind of stuck there where she's famous enough where we keep hearing about it, but not famous enough where we're actually going to do anything about it.
It's tough too. Her court date starts the same day Stranger Things drops their final 2 episodes,
and that's anti-Russian too.
Not only that, everyone's just going to be tuned into Stranger Things. Yeah. No one's going to care about Brittany Griner's
trial. Also, it's kind of anti-Russian too. Like the Russians are the bad, part of the bad
guys. True.
There.
And they make them look a little foolish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, while we were gone. Sticking in basketball, the NBA draft happened. That went down. A little bit of a surprise when last minute push and Paolo Banchero ends up going number 1 overall when everybody thought it was going to be Jabari.
That was wild to see. People were mad at Woj.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
They felt like Woj was manipulating the gambling markets.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I know if I lost some on
Yeah, like the lines kept shifting. Like people would be like, okay, there's a lot of Paolo steam here. And then Woj would tweet out, the Magic look locked into Jabari Smith at number 1 still, and everyone's like, wait a second. And then, the lines would switch back, and then, everyone's just still betting on Jabari, thinking they had, this makes sense. I'm getting even money on this. And Woj says they're locked in. And then next thing you know, boom, an hour before the draft, Magic think they're taking Paolo.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I was watching First Take, starting my day at the beach, and the day after the draft, First Take was talking about it, and they called him Pablo on the side of the screen, Pablo number 1. I'm like, really? Oh my god! Even they're caught by surprise by this. They didn't know what was going on.
They didn't have the graphic ready. They had to scramble.
Yeah.
That was the biggest surprise there. Not really any massive trades or anything we thought. There may be some fireworks going into the draft as far as just teams trying to shake things up. Another storyline from that, at least locally, is Kenny Chandler and his His fall from the first round. He ended up going pick 38. Gets to stay in state, though, as he's going to the Grizzlies at pick 38 there. But, yeah, a little bit of a disappointment probably for him just slipping out of the first round. And
I haven't seen any projected contract numbers for him. But I do know, the slot kind of ends in the first round at, $1.8 million a year. Mm-hmm. Maybe top 10 in the second round. He's going to be looking at, just over $1 million, which to me seems like could have easily made that.
Yep.
At Tennessee and NIL money.
You would have thought so. I'm sure he's happy to be back in Memphis, though, and, be with the Grizzlies and be in the league. But, yeah, seems like a slight probably missed opportunity and some money you could have had or possibly, improve your stock as well on top of that. But decent situation for him, though.
I mean, I don't know. It is and it ain't.
I mean, I feel like you can eventually get to what Tyus Jones does for him.
Yeah, but I just think, maybe it plays out that way. The best case scenario for him is, he's the backup point guard in Memphis.
Yep.
Because, obviously, Ja is going to be the starting point guard in Memphis for the next decade. Now, there's a chance that Ja gets hurt again. He plays a little reckless and with his athleticism and attacking the rim. Maybe last year he'll be knocked out some games and Chandler will get a chance to play. But I feel like Memphis is at the position, Cam, where they are rooting for or they're striving for and aiming for an NBA championship.
Yeah.
Very rarely do NBA championship contenders, rely on a rookie point guard backup.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to have a backup point guard there. And ideally, you want a guy that can play alongside Ja. And like, I don't think you can ever do a Ja Chandler backcourt. Both those guys are just too small, and neither one of them could shoot well enough. Mm-hmm. So like, I almost feel like Chandler's just going to kind of get, like, they're going to try to like develop him mostly in the G League this year. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll play this year, but I think long term he'd have a shot to get that backup role. But
I just think like they're aiming too high to try to bring along a second round point guard as their as their true backup. I think he'll get to play some.
I mean, what else do you think they do as their true backup if they can't get Tyus back?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would try to get just basically a bigger guard who can play both the two and like handle the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like last year, like it was kind of like, you know, Tyus Jones. And they also had some times when they wanted Kyle Anderson to run some point, you know, just kind of a big slow forward they had, you know, slow mo. I don't know what their answers would be. I just think you'd try to get basically a two or a three that can handle the ball a little bit to kind of stagger those minutes. Hopefully Chandler breaks in there, and hopefully, like, you know, they're like, hey, we got a first round talent here, and, you know, he's worth investing in.
See, I think Kennedy showed last year that, like, he can do a pretty good job playing off ball. And I know, like you said, you don't really want two guards of that size out there with Ja and Kennedy Chandler.
Especially when neither one can shoot well.
But I think Kennedy Chandler showed the ability to make shots last year, too. I think he has a nice shot, so I think that can be developed into a more consistent.
I made the mistake of arguing with people about this on draft night. And, you know, I'd done pretty well of, like, not arguing with people. I kind of, you know, slowed that down. I used to have a problem with it. I kind of slowed it down to where I'm not arguing with people. I made the mistake.
It's really hard not to.
Yeah, especially, you know, draft night I was enjoying some vodka and Sprite Zeros. I'm just sitting there. But, like, people are worried about Chandler's long-term shooting in the NBA. People, there's a lot of scouts and people that do that for a living who talked about, yeah, he shot 38% from three in college on, you know, 3.8 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
But they've always talked about when they're trying to evaluate shooters, their free throw stroke is a lot to look at, because if you have good mechanics on your free throws and you hit a high number of free throws, like, you have shooting touch. You can be coached into jump shooting and, like, to be a reliable jump shooter. Like, guys who maybe, like, weren't good shooters in college, like, you know, Kawhi Leonard or John Collins, for example, like, they said, well, these guys shoot good free throws. So, like, even, like, now, like, with the Hawks, they talk about with Onyeka Okongwu, like, he's a pretty good free throw shooter, got some touch. We can develop that into a jump shooter. On the flip side, like, if you can't hit free throws, like, there's very, very small chance that you're going to be able to be a consistent jump shooter.
Absolutely.
So that kind of hurt Chandler, too, and he shot 60% from the free throw line. They almost said that means more to his long-term shooting success than him shooting 38% from three showed, just because, like, you know, that could be more of a fluke versus his actual stroke. So I don't know. I don't know how Chandler's going to develop as a shooter. I know some people question it, though, and when they do, they point to his free throw percentage. I also understand he was small, you know, at 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the NBA now, more so than ever, is a wing league.
Absolutely.
Where you got to be able to play a couple positions and guard a couple positions. And, you know, Chandler coming back to UT wasn't going to make him any taller.
Yep, absolutely.
So, like, I don't know what the solution would have been for him. I don't know if coming back to school and shooting 80% from a free throw line for an entire season would have, you know, knocked him up some spots. But I was disappointed, and I think he would be disappointed too. You know, at this time last year, being a projected top 10, top 11 pick versus going, you know, 38th and costing himself probably $10 million.
Probably, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I did look for the sake of, like, being prepared for this conversation next year. Mm-hmm. But right now, Julian Phillips, Tennessee's five-star, currently on the roster. You know, big guy that we got after LSU fired Will Wade. On three, has him projected as the 15th pick in the draft next year. So we'll see if his stock really, you know, really rises or falls, because I think Chandler's fell. I think Keon's fell. Springer didn't improve. I don't know, like, you know, if I would consider him falling, but he didn't really improve. Josiah Jordan James, of course, isn't going to be drafted as a five-star.
Do you think that those are just four individuals, you know, situations with their own set of circumstances unique to the player, or do you think that there is some, you know, overarching thing that connects all of them, like Rick Barnes or like the Tennessee program, that maybe those guys' stock are falling because of?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't want to blame Barnes, because I don't think Barnes' job is to get Tennessee players into the NBA. I don't think that's his job. And, like, people kept arguing with me whenever I made the tweet. It's like, hey, you know, Tennessee, you can't really argue that they've really improved any five-star NBA stock. Mm-hmm. To which people, of course, wanted to think that I was bashing Barnes, which I wasn't. I was saying, like, Kenny Chandler and Keon Johnson might regret coming to Tennessee if they're looking at, like, hey, how can I make the most money? And Julian Phillips is maybe looking around like, oh, man, that ain't good. Because, like, you had a guy similar to him in Jabari Smith go to Auburn and then become, you know, the number, you know what, number two, number three pick, number three pick. And, you know, held his stock firm. Whereas a couple of the Tennessee guys have it. But, like, Tennessee wants to win college basketball games. I think if you are Rick Barnes and you are Danny White and you are a Tennessee basketball fan, that is your ultimate goal. I think any players you put in the NBA is a, you know, extra surprise or an extra reward, I guess, the icing on top, if you will. Now, it's a little bit of a symbiotic relationship in the sense, Charlie, that, like, the more guys you put in the NBA, the better chance you keep getting good guys who will help you win basketball games. Like, we understand that relationship there. But, you know, I think Kenny Chandler came to Tennessee to play winning college basketball. Or I think that's what he did in college. Let me rephrase that. I think he got here and, like, we all thought he was a really good player, right, at Tennessee?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was elite. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was, you know, the best point guard that Tennessee's had maybe ever. I think that he was maybe the best point guard in the country last year. I mean, maybe there's a couple guys I'm forgetting. But, like, he was up there for me. Like, he was awesome. And he helped Tennessee do something they hadn't done in 40 years, which is win an SEC championship.
Yep.
Me and Charlie were there. We won a lot of basketball games. We finished the season ranked number five in the country. So, like, Rick Barnes accomplished his goal with Kenny Chandler, in my opinion. You won a bunch of games, you were top five in the country, and you won an SEC championship. Now, of course, we want to go deeper in the March Madness tournament. Yes, of course we did. But otherwise, like, Kenny Chandler came here, played really good basketball, and we won a bunch of games.
Well, I mean, and with all four of those guys, I mean, Kenny Chandler, his two biggest knocks, like you've already talked about, height and free throw shooting. That's not Rick Barnes related.
I kind of disagree on the free throw shooting. On the height, obviously not. But, like, I think free throw shooting, it can be mental. So, like, you can just develop a hitch or whatever, or, like, you know, have a mental block. But, like, I do think, to me, free throw shooting is coaching.
See, to me, free throw shooting just seems like something that you are either pretty good at or not.
Well, everyone says that in college he was like in high school he was a 90% free throw shooter.
And they say he doesn't miss at practice really either, is what they always used to say.
And, like, you know, he'd hit 40 in a row is what people point out to in high school. Like, he was a good free throw shooter. So maybe it's just a mental block that Rick Barnes couldn't fix. I don't know. Or maybe he developed a hitch in his shot that I think somebody on the staff has to be able to fix. Kind of like, you know, I don't know the intricacies of the sports from a coaching perspective enough to say, but, like, we all the time hear about, you know, in baseball, a hitter starting to do something on a swing, right, that, you know, maybe puts him in a slump. And then you'll have, like, either a player or a coach say, look, here's what you're doing differently. Fix this.
Yeah.
And then he fixed it, and he goes back to hitting bombs and, you know, hitting for average and not, you know, looking lost at the plate. I would think someone at Tennessee should have been able to, like, look and say, look, Chandler, you're fading back on your free throws.
Yeah, find the film from high school or something.
We're going to sit here, and we're going to make you shoot 1,000 until you get this fixed. And if he's making those in practice and missing the game, then, yeah, sure, like, I can't blame coaching for that. Like, I don't know exactly what was happening. But, like, I do look at overall free throw shooting percentages for a team as a kind of a indication of your coaching. Now, if you have outliers and big men who just can't find the stroke, and, like, no matter how many times they practice, like, their hands are always going to be too big, that's a different story. Like, I think Shaq could have shot 10,000 free throws in practice and still would have been a 60% free throw shooter at best. I don't think Chandler should have been that. So I will say, like, I don't necessarily give Barnes and the staff a pass on that. The height, obviously, there's nothing you can do there.
I kind of give them a pass on the free throw shooting. Because, like you said, he was a good free throw shooter when he showed up. So I think it was clearly something on his end that was mental. When I, you know, there was a conversation.
If it's mental, yes.
There was a conversation throughout the year of him falling away from the basket. Like, I remember that being a talking point for a couple weeks. But it was a talking point. So that obviously, like, that seems to me like they tried to fix that.
Yeah.
They talked it over. And if he was hitting free throws in practice, then I feel like they probably corrected that, at least in practice.
Sure.
Now with, like, Keon Johnson, I mean, his stock fell because he didn't have a shot.
And I would say, like, yeah, well, A, like, they didn't develop a jump shot for him either here at Tennessee. But also, like, there might be something simple as Charlie is, like, you know, what we're talking about. Like, Rick Barnes' goal is to win basketball games. It's not to highlight talents. And if you're a point guard at you know, Kentucky, you know, over the years of Calipari, like, chances are you're going to be able to, like, run the offense and have some freedom, run some pick and rolls. And, like, that's not what we do at Tennessee. This is not what we do. We don't necessarily try to highlight one player under Rick Barnes. We are out here trying to win basketball games. And people wanted to use Grant Williams as an example of like, hey, look at this. You got him in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not pointing out his development? I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. You can do that. But do you see how Grant Williams plays in the NBA? When have you ever seen a Grant Williams post up in the NBA? I mean, I'm serious. Like, when have you ever seen Grant Williams post up?
It doesn't happen.
I'm not sure.
Like, the Warriors beat the Celtics because, like, they were able to basically, like, Grant Williams couldn't punish anybody in the post in the NBA. Like,
he couldn't just put him in the corner.
Right, he couldn't just post up any of the smaller guys they were guarding with because that's not how the NBA works. So you can, like, look and say, like, Grant Williams went number, what was it, 19, 22, whatever it was. I think it was 22.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You can look at that and say, wow, look at that. This is Rick Barnes, a success story of a three-star becoming a first-round NBA pick.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can look and say, like, Grant Williams, if you had let him shoot more in college.
Mm-hmm. Could have had like, a higher ceiling.
Right, like, develop more of a jump shot, yeah. Like, he would have been a higher draft pick. So, like, it's kind of strange that, like, yes, three-star success story, but at the same time, like, he wasn't equipped for the NBA when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as good of a versatile defender he is and as smart of his, like, basketball IQ is, like, he was probably underdrafted. Because at Tennessee, yep. We were like, hey, we're going to try to win games, and he's going to be an All-American and an All-SEC player, and we're going to put his ass in the post. And it worked for Tennessee, but it definitely didn't maximize his NBA talents. At least I don't think so.
Do you think a 3-and-D more jump shot-oriented Grant Williams would have been better for Tennessee?
Well, not a 3-and-D oriented. Like, I think Grant was so good that,
no,
like...
3-and-D, like, takes more jump shots.
Okay. Like, if you're telling me that
guy,
he just shoots,
like,
more three... Well,
spends less time in the post, but that's still also part of his game.
When I hear about 3-and-D, I think of just the wing guys that basically they just put in the corner and, like, hey, Bruce Bowen, you're going to shoot threes and play defense. So, like, I don't think that would have benefited him. But, like, I do think, like, Grant Williams shooting more threes in college is something I think he could have done and that maybe would have been as fit at Tennessee because I just think winning with post basketball is hard. You know, past 2010. Like,
and I think that would have just added an element that helps his game overall because people are going to have to worry about that. You get by him some and, you know, things like that.
And he had a little bit of a stroke. Like, we saw him hit a couple corner threes. You know, he hit that one in the SEC tournament against Kentucky. Like, he had some stroke, but he was so good in the post. Like, I don't blame Rick Barnes for...
Yeah, leave him there.
Letting him be the SEC player of the year. Again, like, I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing Rick Barnes because we won a bunch of games. But, like, I don't necessarily look at that and say that's an NBA success story because I feel like he was underdrafted.
Yeah.
If he just showed more of a shooting stroke in college, would have been a better prospect. That's not Barnes' job. That was a long version of headlines, but we'll talk some more basketball. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, Russell Smith here for Lenderman Sports Medicine, the Mid-South leader in stem cell research. Do you suffer from nagging joint pain in your knees, shoulder, or back? Are these issues keeping you from doing the physical activities you love? Lenderman Sports Medicine in Memphis can help you heal and get back to the active life without going under the knife. Find out why people come to Lenderman Sports Medicine from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com today.
At Knoxville Smiles, we're bringing the future of modern dental care to East Tennessee today. All of the scraping and polishing with the gritty stuff, that will soon be ancient history. At Knoxville Smiles, the future is here now with guided biofilm therapy. Using a gentle erythritol powder mixed with air and warm water, our hygienists can clean your teeth better than ever without all the poking and scraping. Visit KnoxvilleSmiles.com to find out more or just call us at 865-539-1776.
Car wrecks happen and when they do,
you're gonna need someone to guide you through.
To make it easier to treat you right,
you're already hurt, so don't get hurt twice. 531-9400, the team for you, that's where you go. Fox and Farmer, attorneys at law, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys.
Call Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. If you've been injured in a car wreck, Fox and Farmer has over 100 years of combined experience helping Knoxvillians and all of East Tennessee get the settlements they deserve and are more than happy to give you a free consultation to discuss your case and answer your questions. Give them a call today at 531-9400 or visit foxandfarmer.com.
Fox and Farmer, attorneys at law, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys.
8900 Executive Park Drive, Knoxville. Online at foxandfarmer.com.
Your heating and air system is the biggest energy user in your home. Small ripples in your system's efficiency can cause big waves in your utility bills. That's why...
We are 2 days away from like the beginning, as far as I'm concerned, of NBA free agency. We kind of talked about that. We got some headlines there. Whenever you look, I mean, there's some rumored trades. The Hawks, you know, were basically dangling John Collins out for everyone. Cam was freaking out about it. And then, like, you know, there's a young, talented DeJounte Murray rumor, you know, start sprinkling around where the Hawks were after him. So are the Cavs and Timberwolves and Wizards, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to figure out, you know, where guys are going. But I think until we figure out the future of Kyrie Irving, everything else is on hold.
What deadline's on Wednesday?
Kyrie Irving's opt-in date.
Okay. Because I knew you couldn't discuss signing trades until Thursday.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that was one of the dates there. But okay, that
so
makes sense.
He has until 6 p.m. Well, hold on. I don't know what time it is for Wednesday. By the 29th, which is Wednesday, I don't know what time during the day. That's whenever Kyrie has to make his decision on whether or not he is opting into his player option. If he opts into the player option at $36 million, then they'll look around, you know, they'll know what number of salary they have to bring back in trades.
Yep.
But that also leaves the possibility that the Nets could just, you know, kind of keep him. If he declines the player option, he would then be an unrestricted free agent, to which then, like, the update of, like, hey, you could do a sign-and-trade with another team opens up.
Yep.
He has listed, like, I think six teams as teams he is willing to go to in a sign-and-trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, 76ers, and Mavericks. When you kind of start going through these, like, the Lakers in a sign-and-trade don't really have anything.
Nope.
Because if I'm the Lakers, I'm not trading Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving. And if I'm the Nets, I don't really need to take back $47 million for 1 year of Russell Westbrook whenever him and Durant don't really get along, no matter how much we want to, you know, see that reunion.
That would be so much fun, though.
Yeah. But so, like, the Lakers don't really have anything they can send back in a sign-and-trade. The Clippers, okay. You know, if they wanted to send, like, all their depth to Brooklyn and then, you know, roll the dice on Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Kyrie Irving, which are three guys that I don't know if you can really count on being healthy and able to play.
Yeah.
But that's three really talented guys. But, you know, they wouldn't really have any depth. But that makes sense. Okay, the Knicks. I mean, I guess, like, if I'm the Knicks, like, I would trade some parts and some picks to have, like, R.J. Barrett and Kyrie there. Like, maybe that makes sense. The Heat? Charlie, how do you feel?
I don't want Kyrie.
You don't want Kyrie?
I don't think the Heat want Kyrie. I think maybe they'd be intrigued by it, but they're kind of a no-nonsense organization to an extent. And they let some stuff slide, obviously, when you had the big three together because everyone was winning. But that was still a group that was pretty basketball-focused and focused on winning and the long run. And I just don't think they're all that interested in having a guy that you don't know if on a random Wednesday he's going to go attend like a flat earth conference instead of play in a basketball game, or, you know, that he could just quit on a team. He could really do anything. He's probably the most unpredictable person in the NBA. He's like meta world peace levels of unpredictable. I just don't think that's a headache the Heat want to deal with.
Now, you know, if you buy in to the idea of Heat culture and, like, the threat that maybe Jimmy Butler would whip his ass, like, maybe Kyrie falls in line and, you know, you look and you're like, okay, that's a team that we could get over the hump because we were, you know, very close. We lost in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals with a old kind of breaking down Kyle Lowry that doesn't have the, you know, the talent that Kyrie Irving has. So maybe if you could, like, get Kyrie, you could get over the hump.
I mean,
but the report from Miami is like they don't want to give up any of their top trade assets, which is basically like Tyler Hero and some picks. Like, they don't even want to give up that for Kyrie Irving. So basically, it'd be like, we'll give you Kyle Lowry and some picks.
Can we give him like Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, and like,
yeah, maybe
someone else? Is there someone else there?
Maybe. And then
can we give him Strus too, and just let Nikola Jovic do the Strus Duncan Robinson role for us.
Then there's the Philadelphia 76ers, which I find very funny because, like, are they just going to send, like, Kyrie to Philly and, like, bring Harden back to play, like, with Durant? Is Kyrie and Harden going to be on the same team again together? Like, what the hell happens there? The Sixers are looking around like, yeah, we're not giving you Tyrese Maxey. And then they're like, okay, well, like, you want Tobias Harris? And then, like, we don't know what we're doing there. We've already sent our draft picks to you already for James Harden, so, like, we don't really have anything else. And then the Mavericks, like, would allow Kyrie to play off the ball It's basically like putting him back with James Harden, where Luka's going to have the ball and Kyrie can be a spot-up shooter. So maybe that makes sense. But according to all the reports, like, none of these teams are really excited about the idea of getting Kyrie Irving because, you know, Kyrie Irving's kind of a headache.
Yep. Yep. The only one with reported interest, it really, is the Lakers so far, and that's probably just LeBron being back there like, yeah, I can play with him again.
Well, it's also like the Lakers of the six. Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, 76ers, and Mavericks. Like, I would say the Lakers are like the ones that don't fit in terms of like championship contenders as they're currently constructed. Like, they of the six are the most desperate, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, like that roster isn't necessarily built to just go win a championship right now. And like you mentioned earlier, they don't really have anything to the trade in the sign and trade situation. Like, they would basically need Kyrie to opt out and just be like, yeah, I'll take a really cheap deal over there.
Well, that's what makes the the Wednesday deadline so fascinating, because like if he wants to get to LA to join back up with LeBron, which reportedly that's what people think Kyrie really wants to do, is end up in LA with LeBron. He would decline his option and sign for basically what's called the taxpayer mid-level, which is when a team doesn't have any salary cap space, they're still allowed to spend $6 million. He would sign for $6 million, which would essentially be him forfeiting $30 million. After, he basically forfeited $20 million last year by not playing and not getting the vaccine and not playing in half of the games.
Yeah.
Which Kyrie seems like a wild card enough where he'd be like, you know what? My happiness is worth more than money type of thing. This is what I want to do. I'm a trendsetter. And then they can pay me the next year when they have my rights.
Yeah, the fact that he's willing to lose all the money last year makes you almost more like, yeah, he's not afraid to do it.
On one hand, it should be like, hey, like, he needs to recoup this money a little bit.
Yeah.
But on the other, it's like, my life didn't really change when I gave up $20 million. So, yeah. 30 for 1 year is not that big of a deal either. As long as I'm happy and I prove to the man that I can't be controlled.
Yeah.
I'm not a slave to the dollar. And, like, that seems like something that he would seem to be wanting to make a statement on doing.
Sure, he hasn't already had that exact quote, because that definitely sounds like something he would say.
Exactly. Exactly. LeBron James is said to be, quote, very open to the possibility. Of course you are, LeBron, because, like, yeah. You're not going to get anybody near Kyrie's, level with $6 million in cap space.
Nope.
So, yeah, I'm sure you are open to the idea of, bringing in a guy that's top 30 in the league in talent for basically nothing.
Can we keep Russ there, too, though, and just have Russ as their backup point guard?
I don't know what would happen. Maybe you just keep Russ there, bring him off the bench. Like, I don't know what they would do with Russ.
I just want the most hilarious outcome. Like, that's what I'm rooting for on a personal level. And I think that includes either Russell Westbrook in some regard, James Harden in some regard, or Jimmy Butler just beating Kyrie Irving's ass within the first 2 weeks of him being on the Miami Heat.
I also like the idea of like no one really lining up for LeBron, like lining up for Kyrie, and he's a free agent. I was like, yeah, that's cool. Good luck with that, bro. Yeah.
Like a month passes, he's just still like, wait a second, does anyone want me? Ends up on the Kings. Like, oh, give me that.
Like, it is funny that, like, the Mavericks and Knicks are two of these teams, and they're kind of like, nah, we're just going to have a bidding war over Jalen Brunson instead. And I'm like, wait a second, what? Jalen Brunson? Like, the Knicks are out here, like, hiring his dad as an assistant coach, trading a top 11 pick, the Jalen Duren guy, getting rid of him to clear up cap space so they can sign Jalen Brunson. I'm like, hold on a second, what? They're doing the college recruiting trick of hiring someone's dad, and that dad is the dad of Jalen Brunson, of all people. Like, that's what we're doing?
It's like if it was like a 3- or 4-star recruit, and you're just like, oh, you'll hire his dad. And yeah.
It's one thing if you're signing, like, Michael Porter Jr.'s dad, if you're Konzo and you're giving him a job. Like, okay, I want the Porter brothers. Awesome.
We just hired that Australian punter's dad, basically, is the equivalent.
Yeah. Like, hey, we really want Jalen Brunson. I'm like, hold on a second. What? If you're the Knicks, like, maybe I'm swinging. I think it'd be funny if, like, whoever wins the Kyrie sweepstakes, that's where Durant is like, yeah, actually, that's where I want to get traded to. To me, that's the funniest. Like, I think it'd be pretty funny if the Knicks end up signing Kyrie and then trading for Durant, and they just move from Brooklyn to New York.
Think they'd change where they live?
Probably not. Or if, like, all of a sudden Kyrie takes $6 million to go to the Lakers, and then KD was like, you know what, actually, I want to go to the Lakers too. And the Lakers are like, okay, we'll give you Anthony Davis. And they're like, okay, that actually makes some sense. And then KD and Kyrie,
LeBron, Kyrie, and Russell. Still Russell Westbrook and Malik Monk.
Just there.
Yep. Or if like there's some combination, like if you're the Lakers, God,
that combo off the bench of Malik Monk and Russell Westbrook.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe,
dogs.
Maybe bring in, find a way to get Ben Simmons out of there too, because he's just kind of hanging out like in Brooklyn. Like, wait a second, Kyrie and Durant are both leaving.
I think my back jacked up a little bit.
Or he's like, hey, now we're talking.
Chairs causing me some spasms.
Or now we're talking. Now I'm the man. This is my team. I've been wanting my own team, and I got one.
It's or all like coming just, together.
You or, get the worst team to have.
Or if LeBron was just like, you know what, we're going to trade Anthony Davis and Westbrook for, you know, Ben Simmons and Kyrie. We'll just get, like, them together. I don't know. The options are kind of endless with the Lakers, which I want a good Lakers team.
I don't.
I want it just because we're at the end of LeBron's career. And
I want Bronny to end up on the weirdest team possible. I want LeBron to end up there too, obviously, and I just want that to happen. I don't want success with the Lakers any further with LeBron.
But if you are the Knicks or the Heat or the 76ers or the Mavericks, if you're any of these teams pretty much except the Lakers, I think I'm holding my assets back, and I'm waiting to see what happens when Durant wants to trade. Because, like, if you're the Heat, I'm not trading Tyler Hero and draft picks for Kyrie Irving, but I'll give you Bam and some draft picks. Or I'll give you Jimmy Butler and some, you know, Tyler Hero and some draft picks to get Durant. They've still got, you know, 4 years left. That's what puts you over the top to win a championship. Not Kyrie, but then, like, Durant, where he ends up. And I think the trade assets and the fallout from KD wanting out of Brooklyn, to me, is much more fascinating.
What have really been, like, the reports with KD right now?
Just basically that he is unhappy with how Brooklyn's front office has treated Kyrie. He said, quote, that they haven't tried to understand him. That he, yeah, basically he's misunderstood and he's upset with the way that his front office has dealt with his best friend.
I mean, that sounds a little bit ridiculous.
I mean, it does.
They let him, like, they obliged basically to his whole vaccination saga.
They did, yeah. And they didn't, because they held him out of, I mean, they held him out of even, like, road games for a while, didn't they?
Did they?
I want to say, like, at the beginning of the season, like, I didn't think they were, like, really allowing him to. Or maybe it was they could have played him in Brooklyn and just, like, paid, like, a small fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's what.
Maybe that was it.
And they didn't do that, yeah.
It would have been, like, $1,000 every time he played or something like that.
I think, yeah, that did happen.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was $1,000, if it was like, $5,000, or, like,
yeah.
But manageable.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it they could afford.
Incredibly manageable. So,
yeah. They could have basically said, screw you to the mandate. It was like, instead they, you know, then came out of the season and had the quotes about we need guys who want to be on this team and, like, want to play basketball and, like, you know, care about stuff more than themselves, a.k.a. screw you, Kyrie.
Yep.
But, like, with Durant, you know, like, his trade market to me is much more fascinating because, as crazy as it seems, I feel like if you're Kyrie, you're ending up either with the Knicks or you're actually going to take the $6 million, go to the Lakers, and then try to, like, fix your value.
Yep.
And either get a big deal there or get a big deal the next year. But Durant, like, I don't know where Durant lines up in terms of trade value.
Yeah.
Because he is 34, and we did kind of see him get undressed by the Celtics. But if you're a good team that adds him, like, you go up a big level in terms of your championship odds, right?
You would think so. Like, just, it's still Durant. Like, he's, like you said, he struggled at times, but I think he still has, you know, lots of talent there.
He's 33. He turns 34 by the time the season starts, but, like, he is a guy that was looking like an MVP candidate whenever he, you know, before he got hurt this year. Mm-hmm. We saw Steph Curry at age 34. Like, we see LeBron still be very valuable and win a championship at age 34. So, like, Durant's still got, you know, a handful of years left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more fascinated about his future.
If you think you're close and you think you can get him, you would think you would take that chance to try to push you over the edge to get to that championship.
We'll talk about some potential spots for him after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The Fan Run live stream is powered by Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. You can visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life. with Linderman Sports Medicine. If you want a healthier lifestyle, again, LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Kyrie is first up. Then it's Kevin Durant. Then we'll find out about, like, Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine, or, like, the other two big names that we're trying to figure out if they're going to sign their Supermax. Which, by the way, before we get to Kevin Durant, the idea of giving Bradley Beal $250 million for 5 years makes me sick. If I'm the Wizards, like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. It ain't happening. Like, go out, I'll give you 4 years, we'll trade you. I don't want to pay you $200 million to help us finish 10th. You ain't that guy, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, for a guy who can put up such good numbers, he doesn't seem to affect winning that much.
He doesn't impact winning at all.
What really
he's
is?
Matthew. I was going to call him Matthew Stafford, which Matthew Stafford won a Super Bowl, so maybe that's a bad comparison. But, like, he is insert quarterback. Kirk Cousins, insert quarterback that, like, is going to put up
maybe
good
like
stats.
Maybe like Dak.
Maybe like Dak, but at least Dak, like, you go 12-5 with. Like, Dallas was good last year.
Yeah.
It puts up good stats, but we know you're not going to, like, win at a big level.
What else do the Wizards have?
What else would they have? Nothing.
What else do they have?
I mean, nothing really, but, like,
Johnny Davis now?
Giving Bradley Beal $250 million like ain't going to like win you anything either. And it's not going to stop the conversation where he like talks about how he's unhappy, he wants to win. Like, no, I'm just going to say, we ain't paying you. I know Michael Jordan's been a bad owner. The Hornets stink. Like, they just had to go out and hire a coach that, like, basically they fired a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, what a debacle.
They had to bring him back, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That happened?
Yep.
Didn't it happen?
Because
Kenny Atkinson
said, nah,
like,
I'm
said actually, no, I'd rather be an assistant after all here.
Yeah. I mean, they went back and got Clifford, right?
Was Clifford there? Was Clifford there when before he got
He was there until, like, 2018.
He was, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember if he was there. Then I got nervous. Like, was he in Orlando? But, like, he was.
No, yeah, he was there. I mean, yeah, they let him go, I think, after 2018 or so. And God, now really they're just like, hey, so we don't have a coach anymore.
He did go to Orlando. Okay. But, like, after he got fired by Charlotte, he went to Orlando. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, at least Michael Jordan was smart to look at Kemba Walker and be like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
We ain't giving you $200 million. It ain't happening. You ain't getting the Supermax. Just leave for free. We ain't doing it. And Boston did it, and then it set Boston back. And the reason, like, Boston, like, was terrible with Kemba until they got rid of him, then they end up in the finals. So, like, if I'm the Wizards, I'm like, nope. Not giving you $250 million, it ain't going to happen. If I'm the Bulls, like, what is giving Zach LaVine $212 million going to do for you? That ain't going to get you up over the hump either. So, like,
nope.
I'm simply not being held hostage by these players. No thanks. Definitely not no damn Bradley Beal. But when I look at Kevin Durant, and if he were to ask out, you would have to check a couple boxes. You would have to have some trade value. You would have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would also have to, like, what I mean by that is you'd have to trade assets that you can go out and, like, make it worthwhile.
Yep.
And you'd also have to have some players on the team left over where you could still compete for a championship because Durant wants to win a championship.
Absolutely.
You ain't going to, like, trade the whole farm for Durant and then, like, okay, we'll try to build around you in 2 years. That ain't really going to happen.
No, yeah. His window's right now.
So there are a couple teams that I think you could look around at the end and be like, okay, they still got enough assets to trade and also keep. Memphis would be one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I believe in a world where Kevin Durant looks and says, I want to play in Memphis.
Yeah.
I feel like if he embraced it, that's the biggest thing is if he embraced it or not. If he embraced it, I think Memphis and him could, like, really be a great marriage.
He would be
just the identity that they kind of have is grit. And
they also like talking
enemies
trash.
And yeah. Villains, and like KD kind of likes to be a villain. And
they hate the Warriors, so he'd fit in there.
Yeah. They like to tweet. Ja will tweet with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, him and Ja could both be talking about putting hollows and fans together.
But like, you know, Memphis could trade Jaren Jackson Jr., and Zaire Williams, and some picks. And like, you know, if I am Brooklyn, that's a pretty good return. And if I'm Memphis, like, I think we'd have enough left to where then we look and say, okay, like, we can get over the hump. And Kevin Durant would get credit, probably, for getting them over the hump as a veteran.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Memphis actually makes
sense. That's actually my favorite possible trade destination.
Well, to me, the funniest thing is, like, the team that would be best equipped to win a championship after trading for him and trading young pieces for him and still having enough to win a title would be Golden State. But obviously, like, he's not going to go back to Golden State. But, like, they could trade, like, James Wiseman and Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins and some draft picks. And, like, that makes sense. And, you know, the salaries would match.
Patrick Baldwin if they wanted.
Yeah, the salaries would match. And, like, you know, the team would be still a contender. But, like, obviously that's not going to happen.
That would be funny.
Miami, you know, again, I think could put some packages together and still do both. I'd say Atlanta could probably do it and still do both. Now, whether or not they could win a championship, I don't know. To me, if I'm Memphis, I would just, I know you wouldn't do it for age, but, like, would you just call and be like, hey, Ja Morant? If I'm Brooklyn and you're like, hey, give us Ja and you could have Durant for 4 years? Mm-hmm. I know Memphis is like, no, it's stupid, but, like, you'd win a championship.
You have a good shot.
I mean, I feel like if you just swap Ja Morant for Kevin Durant, you win a championship, right?
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, it wouldn't shock me by any means.
You were like 20-5 without him last year.
Yeah.
You were still a really good team without him. Like,
all of a sudden, like, Tyus Jones is your.
Yeah, Tyus Jones, your starting point guard.
Like, that's. Can't. Works pretty well.
And then you just have Kevin Durant instead. You trade Kevin Durant and, I guess, Dylan Brooks to make the money work, or whatever you have to do. Like, basically, you're keeping Jaren Jackson. You're keeping Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that team's going to, like, probably go to a championship and maybe win a championship.
And I know you're not doing it because of, like, Ja Morant, proving to be an all-pro, all-NBA type of talent and, like, the face of the city. But, if we're out here trying to chase actual championships, and, maybe that's something to keep in mind. Speaking of young stars, what about if they called? And, like, this would be a team that you could look at and say, can send some assets back while keeping a big-time roster that can maybe get them over the hump. But what if you call New Orleans and it's like, hey, Zion and Valachunas to make the money work, and we have all these draft picks from the Lakers. Mm-hmm. We'll send you some draft picks. Kevin Durant, what do you think? And then all of a sudden you look up and you got C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram, Durant. Because, it's not like Zion played at all last year for you anyways.
And once you got McCollum, he went on a nice little.
Herb Jones even is a nice
piece.
I'm
not giving up Herb Jones. But they got a couple of those, those good young wings. Yeah. Like, you trade that, and all of a sudden.
Didn't they just draft Dyson Daniels, too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They'd have a full roster, and if you're Brooklyn, like, having Zion back would be a pretty good way to, like, stay relevant.
Yeah.
And maybe you're trading for a generational talent. Because Zion was really, really good when he was healthy. And he'll get to be in New York, and you don't have to worry about the big market guy leaving. And if you're Durant, you just care about basketball, and you've already lived in Oklahoma City, and you didn't mind that. Like, you go back to you go back to a small city, but you have a team that you can be the lead dog on, and you can win a championship.
Now, we brought up Miami with Kyrie, obviously, because that's one of the places he listed.
Yeah,
do you think it would make sense in the same regard for KD to bring in? To Miami, because I think Jimmy Butler and KD play well together, mesh well together?
Those guys would be two dogs. And I mean, I think both those guys eat, sleep, and breathe basketball.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jimmy Butler loves basketball more than anything. I think Kevin Durant loves basketball more than anything. Now, would they butt heads on who the alpha is? I don't know. If you're Jimmy Butler and you truly just want to win a championship, you're not Kevin Durant, bro.
Yeah, you gotta let him take the last
shot. I know you might want to be the lead dog, but you being the lead dog ain't gonna get you a championship in 2023 and beyond. You can get them to the doorstep and get them close, but to get over the hump, you gotta maybe sacrifice a little bit. And maybe Jimmy Butler is basically his perfect role would be to be Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
In the sense of hey, I'm the defender, I'm the glue guy that's gonna do everything, and here's our superstar.
All the dirty work down there.
Yeah. I think Butler'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
And if you're able to keep Bam, then that's a championship trio there. If you give up Hero and, basically all your draft picks.
Plus Nikola Jovic, obviously.
And Nikola Jovic, sure. The future Jokic. I don't really know.
I'm so excited about him. Only because of his name. And because of his actually skill set's pretty cool, but that's regardless.
And of course, living in Miami would be a nice plus.
Yeah.
But there are a handful of teams, and I think any of those would become championship favorites?
Who would think so?
There is a part of me, again, like I said, I want a good Lakers team. So, an Anthony Davis for Kevin Durant swap would be kind of cool, I think. I want to see, like, LeBron and Durant play together.
That would be interesting. People have wanted that for a while.
I don't know if, like, that actually makes them better.
I just think my biggest concern, if I'm a team that would be looking to move pieces, mortgage potentially a future for Kyrie or KD, or even if you take that a step down and you decide that you want Bradley Beal.
Yeah, not me.
Availability is such a big concern for me, especially with KD and Kyrie.
Yep. Which, I mean, Durant, of course, has ran into some injury issues, but, like, I don't have to worry about him, like, going AWOL.
No.
It's just whether or not, like, his
Availability for different reasons.
Sure, sure.
Still availability.
No, yeah, for sure.
Would maybe be enough to hold me back.
For sure. And, I mean, really, like, if you go to the right team, availability won't even matter. Like, if you're Durant, you can play 50 games in Miami. As long as you're healthy and ready for the playoffs, like, yep, you're ready to go.
We'll
like,
be there.
With the Lakers, he'd have to play 70 games because they'd be still be, you know, probably fighting for their playoff seeding. But if he goes to a good team in the East, like, he'll be all right.
Yeah, you still should make it.
He'll be all right. It'd be really funny if it was like, yeah, we'll give you James Harden and Tyrese Maxey. How about that for Durant? We'll just get rid of those guys and we'll have Durant and Embiid. Like, I think if he actually were to leave, like, yeah, that changes the championship favorites next year.
Absolutely.
There's also a Phoenix that maybe makes sense. You know, if there's a sign trade for DeAndre Ayton and maybe Bridges.
Yeah, you can make that money work for sure there.
And if you're Brooklyn, like, you're probably still going to want to stay relevant because you don't have any of your draft picks because you trade them all to Houston.
They got to be feeling so bad about themselves in Brooklyn.
Yeah, like they might be in a situation, Charlie, where they are on the wrong side of two of the historically bad trades. They traded everything for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett at the end of their career. It set them back.
Didn't they get the fun Paul Pierce moment where he hit the bank shot?
Yep.
Or was that when he was in
Wizards?
That was when he was in D.C.?
Yeah, he was with the Wizards. That was against the Hawks. He said, I called bank. And then we ended up winning that series.
Did he really call bank?
No. But we won that series. But.
Yeah, I would have been livid.
They were on the wrong side of that. And now, like, they're going to be on the wrong side of all the stuff they gave up for James Harden.
Yeah, let's say, is this a kind of saga with him, Durant, and Kyrie? If they all end up going their separate ways, is that just, like, one of the biggest debacles?
I mean, the way that, like, depends what Brooklyn gets back.
Yeah.
If they end up, you know, getting Zion back or a bunch of draft picks, they could still salvage this.
Yeah.
But it would be the second biggest debacle probably from, like, Durant's other big three where James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant were all at the same organization and, like, they won one finals game. They had all three of those, like, locked up and could have, like, kept them together for 10 years. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.